Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, everybody, once again to another Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 85 for March the 31st, 2015. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm going to guide you through all this magical world of software, servers, interconnectivity, virtual machines, network cables, fiber optics, switches, and even some enlightening information. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Check out all the great tech shows at techpodcast.com. We're also now syndicated across stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com. It's a place where you can pick up this podcast as well as many others of all genres. Download the app today on your smartphone and start enjoying podcasts immediately. Please check out my website if you have a minute to do so. That's tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Once again, that's tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. Please leave me a voicemail. A few of you have, and we'll get to those voice messages probably next week. You can call me at 724-701-0550. Once again, that's 724-701-0550. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com and also follow me on Twitter and as at Technoman. Folks, first of all, let me start by saying last week was a bit of a hectic week for me. You know, you get all these side jobs going on you got to take care of. And then there's the strain, you know, of the full-time job and the daily demands that places on you. So I've had a lot of work to do, and I just didn't have a chance to get a podcast out there last week, and I'm very, very sorry for that. I know a lot of you depend on me for your ride to work in the morning, and I do appreciate that. So anyway, here we are now. We're in your car and riding along to work with a great new show. In today's show, we're going to talk a little bit to you about if you work for a school or a library. If you work for a school or a library and you work in the United States, this is a United States federal funded program. It is called E-rate funding. Now, E-rate funding is for many of your technology upgrades, and we're going to cover a couple of the items that I've ran into here recently and stuff that's going to benefit you. Because you know what? If the federal government is putting aside money to upgrade schools and libraries, upgrade your technology, it is a good idea to at least apply for it. Now, that's not saying you're going to receive any, but you can apply for it. It never hurts to fill the paperwork out. And it's kind of in the midst of where we're at. Now, this is falling in line with this time of year. I know many, many schools out there across the country are preparing their budgets, because in the summertime, we do a lot of teardowns. And, you know, when the kids get off school and they're at home, they're playing, they're in their pools, they're having a good time, they're taking their summer vacations. It's us, the technologists, the technicians out there, the network specialists, the guys and the girls out there that make it happen and make it rock, right? We're in the schools and we're putting new technology in and we're setting new technology up. That is what E-rate is kind of geared to. They know that you're going to be setting stuff up. And I'm going to tell you some downfalls with E-rate that I've ran into already and try to elaborate on that a little bit and see if we can't clean this up a little bit. If there's anybody from the state listening, hey, pick it up here, or from the federal government, listen. And I'm going to try to lay out here what a technologist goes through in the summer when you work for a school. Now, if you're in a library, good news, you can upgrade your library stuff also. Connectivity, sometimes computers, and we're going to touch base on some of that because it changes year to year, and they take some stuff away and they may give you some more stuff. So it's a really, really great opportunity for you to pick up some extra funding. So if you've never heard about E-rate, let's start here first of all from a little bit of definitions I picked up. And I picked these up actually out of Wikipedia so I can make sure I get this topic right and I don't want to confuse anybody out there. So E-rate is commonly used name for the schools and library programs of the Universal Service Fund, which has been established by the Universal Service Administration Company, USAC, under the direction of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. The program provides discounts to assist schools and libraries in the United States to obtain affordable telecommunications and internet access. It is one of four support programs funded through the Universal Service fee charged to companies that provide interstate and or international telecommunications services. Now, the schools and the libraries program supports connectivity, the conduit or the pipeline for communicating using telecommunications services and or the internet. Funding is requested under four categories of service: telecommunications services, internet access, internal connections and basic maintenance and internal connections. Discounts for support depend on the level of poverty and the urban and rural settings of the population served and range from either 20% to 90% of the cost of eligible schools. Eligible schools or school districts and libraries may apply individually or as part of a consortium. Now, that was a whole mouthful of stuff there, right? That one paragraph kind of lines everything and says, look, this is what you can apply for. What they are talking about, first of all, is if you're your phone services. Because when they talk telecommunication services, they're talking about your phones that you use. And you might not always think about that, about technology. But the act actually was set up to make sure that we have good, solid telecommunication services for our schools and our libraries. This is very, very important. Also, it covers your internet connectivity. Depending on your level of poverty, and if you're in an urban or a rural setting, and if your population served, and the range from 20 to 90% of the cost of eligible services. So you can receive back up to 90% of your services that you're paying for. This really, really helps schools out a lot. And it also really, really helps out libraries because, let's face it, they're nonprofit organizations, right? Schools have been nonprofit since day one. Libraries are nonprofit. We know that. So we have to find a way to kind of fund it and keep them up into the 21st century, especially with this internet stuff. You know, I've often said that a school will never use less internet. Well, your business will never use less internet, right? Internet connectivity is always going to be more demanding and you're going to need more bandwidth. I remember some years ago when I sold internet connectivity to companies, we had a T1 line in our office. That was 1.5 megabyte up and down. It was a pure digital T1 line. Now, with that said, I used to sell frame relay lines, so I would fraction that off, and I would sell 256 kilobits, 256 kilobits frame relay circuits to businesses. Most of the businesses that we served housed maybe 10 employees, roughly. And it was plenty of internet for, you know, for them getting their email and browsing some of the basic websites at that time. But with the new multimedia happening, with companies putting multimedia out there, with libraries using tons of multimedia, you know, and there's so much out there for schools that we start streaming major content every day of the week. And our teachers are streaming major content into their rooms. Now, I don't know how old you are as a listener, but I remember back in the day when I would sit in the classroom, the teacher would bring out the reel-to-reel projector, and they would put the, you know, the video on or the movie on, and we would sit, they'd turn out the lights, and you'd hear, right? You would hear that running. Next thing you know, it would stop, the screen would bubble up, and you would kind of clap because you're happy that you didn't have to watch the ridiculous movie anymore. Well, today, teachers are doing things in a new way. they're using the internet to stream that content. There's sites like TeacherTube. TeacherTube is an amazing site. There's also another amazing site out there that a lot of schools are using called Discovery Education. And these sites are putting major content out in the form of video. I often say if the written word is worth 100 words, and if they say that pictures are worth 1,000 words, I often say that video is worth 10 million words. Think of video, and I know I produce photography videos on YouTube, and when I put those up there, people watch those and they learn from those. I can teach somebody something in Photoshop or Photoshop Elements, and about a 10-minute segment, they can get a hold of it and learn it. Now, if I put that same information in a book and I have to read it, and that chapter for 10 minutes, that might be, you know, it could be a 500-word chapter. I mean, who knows, right? 250 words with pictures, and they learn so much better with video. And today's younger generation expect that video to be there. They expect the video not to be buffering. So you're going to use more internet. More internet costs tons of money. With E-rate, E-rate has the eligibility effect for us to allow us to purchase high-speed internet lines, such as 100 meg, 1 gig internet lines, at a very reasonable cost because they help fund that cost to us. So it's really, really a great thing to have. The next thing it talks about is internal connections. Now, internal connections are fiber optics connecting multiple buildings together, fiber optics running out to your cupboards, to your switch boxes, your switch drops, and fiber optics coming into your building. So they're paying for these internal connections. They're also paying for ways to connect that. So if you're buying switches, if you're buying routers, if you're buying firewalls, all that stuff can be put forth on your, it's called a 470 plan, on your 470, and you can ask E-rate and say, hey, will you fund this for us? You know, we have this level of free and reduced lunches. We have this level of poverty in our area. We would like to be funded to help these kids get more of an advantage and help the school because the school's getting less tax money in. So it helps the school to supply this stuff, where otherwise we may not supply that stuff to the children. Now, with that said, it says it also takes care of basic maintenance and internal connections. We just talked about internal connections. Basic maintenance is one of those catch things. Here's how it works. So if you buy a brand new piece of equipment, and let's say it's a router, and that router is a Cisco router, and you want to buy 3 years SmartNet service contract with it, E-rate will only let you apply for 1 year of the SmartNet contract for the current year you're in. You can't apply for the 3 years because you might not be eligible for the next 2 years, and they don't know that yet. So they're only paying for the current year. So you have the option of one, paying for the other 2 years yourself, two, buying it a year at a time and hoping for the best. Now, E-rate has taken something away from the U.S., and I agree with it, and I think I've agreed with it for years. It is web hosting. Web hosting companies for schools have charged an astronomical fee. I am talking for 1 year of web hosting services. Now, they do supply you with the content management system, whatever they're using. You're looking at a possibility of $5,000 to $10,000 a year for web hosting. Now, if you go today and sign up for a one-on-one account, for a basic one-on-one account, it's all you would really need for a school, you can get that same account, you know, on one-on-one, put a WordPress site up for free, and you'd probably be paying maybe $30, $35 a year for them to host your site. Now, that's why I said, I'm glad they cut the web services. I think they should have cut web hosting years ago. I think it was totally, a big waste of the money. But the web hosting companies out there, it's made them rich. And now they're scrambling. They're like, what do we do now? We know people are going to be leaving us. So what do we do? Well, they're starting to drop their prices down, hoping that some schools and libraries will stay with them. Now, here's the next part. Applicants must provide additional resources, including end-user equipment, computers, telephones, etc., software, personal development. How much personal development are you going to get from this money, from this funding? and other elements that are necessary to utilize the connectivity funded by your school and library program. So there you have it. So you have to prove why you need it. So you can't just say, well, we're going to run a video server in our back room and we're going to serve up videos, so we need a gigabyte connection. They're not going to pay for that. You have to make sure it's being used, responsibly. Now, yearly requests for E-rate funding almost tripled FCC's $2.25 billion limit. So the yearly request coming in almost triple what they have. At the beginning of 2005, over 100,000 schools have participated in the program. In 2003, nearly half of the funding went to schools, where more than half of the students received reduced price lunches. So, see, I'm telling you that it's based on your reduced lunches. So if you live in a very well-to-do community and your free and reduced lunch is zero, chances are you're not going to get this money because you probably have a really good tax base and your taxes will fund your school, so you don't have to really apply for this stuff. Now, broadly, U.S. Department of Education surveys show that between 1994 and 1999, internet access in public schools rose from 35% to 95%, and access in the classrooms rose from 3% to 63%. Now, folks, that's only in, what is that, 5 years. Only in 5 years, we've increased internet access in the schools, in the classrooms, from 3% to 63%. That's a huge jump. I'm telling you, we're using more and more and more. Some studies have suggested that the E-rate program has had a positive impact on schools. I think that's a very low-key statement. I suggest that E-rate programs have had a fantastic, tremendous impact on schools, not just a positive impact, tremendous impact on schools, because it allows those schools with very low tax bases and very little bit of money coming in to provide the same thing that the really, really rich and well-to-do communities are getting in their schools for their kids. So it puts us all on a level playing field. A 2006 case study performed by Benton Federation found that E-rate funding has a direct impact on classroom internet connectivities in 4 cities. An evaluation of E-rate in California by Gooseby and Graylin showed a 68% increase in classroom connectivity per teacher, but could not identify any impact on student achievement. That's a whole nother topic. A study concluded in 2005 by the University of Texas student under the supervision of economics professor Mike Ward using regression analysis showed the E-rate program in Texas school districts to have a positive effect on factors like test scores, graduation rates, and college admission rates. Now, this is huge, and I said that could be a whole nother topic, is what impact is it having on the children, right? Okay, our kids can watch YouTube videos and stream at a high rate of speed at high definition on their personal devices. Hooray, we did something great. Well, did we? Yeah, maybe not. But if the teachers have to take that first step. The impact to the children are not going to happen until the teachers grab hold and say, wait, I can use this magical thing called the internet to help educate my kids. That's the golden ticket. If we have internet connectivity in the classroom and the teacher throws a textbook in front of the child, guess what we have? 1960s learning, and the child is kind of back in the 60s, and the test scores aren't going to be any better because we're expecting these test scores to be based on modern day life. So it's kind of twofold if you look at that whole thing. Now, fraud and waste. Remember I told you about the web hosting services? Not really fraud, but it was awful big waste. Now, critics point in many cases of fraud and wasteful in the E-rate program. Examples include $101 million in equipment, which was used for 9 schools in Puerto Rico, a $73 million network in Atlanta, which never went through a bidding process, and a $21 million settlement from the NEC for fraud for price rigging. This is what we have in the United States. schools, and I know I've been around schools for a long time, a lot of years, working in different schools. Schools have a problem with every vendor that calls thinks that you're the richest entity in the world. Here's what they should do. If a vendor is bidding for something in your school, the vendor must in some way pay taxes to that school. Because then the vendor will say, wait, if I raise the taxes, I'm going to raise my property taxes and I'm kind of screwed along with the school. But we don't have that, right? We have people in these major metropolitan cities come out, hey, we're going to do this for you, this for you, this for you, this for you. If you bought the equipment on your own, you would pay, let's say $40,000. But being they're going to do it for you, they're telling you all this great stuff, they know you're getting E-rated funded, so they know you're getting some money back, they're going to bid the job out at $80,000. Well, E-rate said, wait, there has to be a better way. So E-rate started working with an organization called PEPM, and I found all this stuff out. So PEPM is the place that says, look, Joe Bob's Computers, you do a really nice job. You're not going to screw the schools over. So we're going to let you sell the school's computers. Nobody else is going to be on this PEPM contract except you. You are the approved vendor for Dell Computers. Then you know when you call Joe Bob's Computer, I'm getting the very best price. I don't have to call anybody else. And they're connected with the state, and the state knows that we are getting the very, very best prices. Now, as far as that goes, with this one, $101 million in equipment was used in 9 schools in Puerto Rico. But this one here was $73 million in Atlanta, which was never went through the bidding process. So the school district, whoever that was, I don't know anybody in Atlanta, the school district said, oh, look, we're going to apply for $73 million worth of E-rate, or they'll get a percentage of that. Maybe they got it all. I don't know. But they never bid the jobs out. So they just said, you're the guy I like, Frank's computer and networking services. I like you. You seem like a really nice guy. And Frank got the job. Well, you have to bid the stuff out. In 2009, a division of AT&T settled for $8.2 million in lawsuits alleging violations of the bidding process, as well as using E-rate to cover ineligible services. In September 2010, the FCC tightened restrictions on gifts given to school personnel by telecommunications for the E-rate program. And I can tell you firsthand, this is absolutely true. It used to be if you went to a conference, if you went to a vendor luncheon to look at a product, they'd give you free ball caps. They would give you, whatever, a can of coffee. They may give you, have a door prize drawing for a laptop. That all went away in 2010. Because if the company gives you anything, now they're ineligible to receive your bid for E-rate because they're buying your services. And I understand that. That makes sense. You don't want somebody buying you and letting you give them money in return, which isn't yours. In November 2010, Hewlett-Packard settled the lawsuit for $16.25 million concerning contractors illegally giving gifts to school officials in exchange for contracts on E-rate-funded equipment. The HP lawsuit was part of a larger investigation of the Texas E-rate program by the U.S. Department of Justice, which included smaller settlements for Houston Independent School District and Dallas Independent School District, and one businessman. Wonder who that could have been. Maybe the guy selling them the stuff. In 2013, an investigation by a Jewish newspaper found that Hydro Jewish School in New York City received millions in E-rate funding despite their practice of rejecting modern technology. Now, so if it's a religious belief that you don't like to use modern technology, if you're an Amish community, don't apply for E-rate funding because you're probably receiving the funds illegally. Because you don't have electric, you probably don't want a computer or a network in your school. That's just very, very simple. Now, when they look at the bid process, when they read your 470, you would think they'd pick up on that little fact, right? But sometimes they get so many in, maybe they get overwhelmed and they're not paying attention. So I don't know who's to blame, really. In 2014, the United States Court of Appeals of the Fifth Circuit ruled that the False Claims Act could not be used to prosecute fraud in the E-rate program because the program was not funded by federal money. So I don't know where the money comes from. I don't really understand at this point now because I thought it was federal money, but now they're saying, well, it's not federal money, so we can't really sue anybody if they falsely take the money. Folks, if you rob a bank, you'll probably get prosecuted. You know, even if you don't work at the bank, and even if the money in the bank does not really belong to the bank, if you steal it, you're going to jail, right? I don't know how they look at these loopholes. This is reading through some of this stuff is just insane. You know, the basic thing is I can tell you honestly, be on the up and up. Okay, we're gonna talk about a little bit about okay, so overcharging schools. I kind of talked about that. You know, places will do that. Be very, very careful. But I'm going to read this to you anyway. Under the E-rate program rules, service providers are not allowed to charge schools more than the lowest corresponding price, meaning that companies cannot charge schools more than they charge any non-residential user for service. However, providers such as AT&T and Verizon sometimes charge 325% or 200% of the price charged to others in the same area. Folks, do you think AT&T or Verizon are rich enough? Really? I mean, did you ever wonder how much is enough? 325% more just because you're a school district. Folks, this is price gouging. This isn't even gouging. This is price cut off your arms and beat you in the head with it and steal your money, right? And they're not stealing your money personally. You writing the 470 plan out, you may work at the school, but you may not pay taxes there. So what you're doing is you're essentially stealing the taxpayers' money, or AT&T and Verizon, I should say, are stealing the taxpayers' money at a rate of 325% or 200% more than they charge other companies. Now, in order to enforce equal pricing, the Universal Service Administration Company adopted the Payment Quality Assurance, or PQA. So this is an auditing program to ensure that program rules are allowed. Under the auditing program, false statements of the lowest corresponding price were prosecuted under the False Claims Act. However, the Fifth Circuit ruled once again that E-rate was outside the scope of the False Claims Act, forcing the Universal Service Administration Company to find other legal justifications for price enforcement. Folks, this is nothing but a bureaucratic bullcrap runaround, right? That's what it is. You can read through this. They put school districts, let me tell you what, they put school districts through hoops. I mean, you have to run through hoops and jump over great bells of fire and squeeze through the tiniest little crack in the wall to even apply for this stuff. And not only that, once you do apply for it, once you get it, they can call and audit you at any time. But reading this, why would they bother? So if you have the overall non-prosecution act, so you can't prosecute anybody for lying, for cheating, for stealing, and for price gouging, why would you pay people to come out and audit? Wait. That's more political pull. More, you know, politicians, friends, husbands, wives need a job. So they say, look, you're going to be one of these auditors to go into school and audit, make sure they're doing things right with the E-rate money. If they're not, well, that's okay. We can't prosecute them. They can, at the very least, ask you to repay the money, right? Even if they're not prosecuting you, repay the money. And then whoever wrote that 470 then would be responsible to the school district to be fired, let go, beat up, whatever happens to that person. Now, you have to do something here, and I typed this up myself. You have to fill out what's called if you go over $19,900. So if you remember, I told you earlier there was no bidding process for this contract that was given out for, I'm trying to look for the total value here, $73 million, okay? There was no bidding process. The law states that if it's over $19,900, you must have a bidding process. Why on earth would anybody stamp that and approve them money if they seen it was that much money and they had no bidding process? I don't know. That's questions I need answered. So you have to fill out what's either known as an RFP or an RFQ, either request for proposal. So you're asking companies. So let's say if I want to buy, I can't use Apple because Apple is strictly Apple. Nobody else can sell their stuff. Let's say if I want to buy, Netgear. I want to buy Netgear wireless, wireless access points. And I'm going to buy 90 of those. E-Rate's going to pay some of that. I know it qualifies. So I'm going to put an RFP out and say, look, I'm looking for 90, D-Link access points or whatever I said, whatever kind of access points. It doesn't really matter. Cisco, D-Link. You say exactly what model you want, exactly what kind you're looking for, and you tell them you don't want anything like that product. You want the exact product. Or you can put out an RFQ, which is a request for quote. The companies then will look at it and say, well, we think we can win that. Okay. This is where it becomes a bidding war. And if you ever watch a program on TV called Extreme Shippers are guys and girls that run around. They have flatbeds on the back of their pickup trucks. They have a trailer maybe, and they bid on moving products from one place to the other. The lowest bid wins. So the guy or the girl will look on there on their iPad or whatever, or look on the internet and say, look, there is a rhinoceros statue getting shipped from Dallas, Texas to Philadelphia. And the one guy might say, well, I could do that for $1,000. Well, somebody else say, well, no, I could do that for, $800. And somebody else might say, I'll do that for $600. So you get the idea. Some guys might just say, wow, $600. No, I'm not going to bid at all, right? So the companies have divided attention to say, no, we don't even want to bother because we know we can't go low enough to make it worth your while, so we're not going to bid it. But other companies out there may want to bid and get you this equipment. So you have to type up the exact specs of the equipment, and you have to use this method to request bids. This is, again, supposed to be for any project over $19,900. But does it work? Well, let me tell you. Now let's go into my philosophy of this whole thing, being I'm on the front lines with it right now, and I'm digging my heels into it, and I'm learning everything I need to learn. Here's what happens. In schools, Mr. Government officials, in schools, what happens is we do our work in July, okay? This is March. It's due sometime January, March, April. It's due sometime in April. We have to have the 470 had to be turned in March. The request, the RFPs have to be done in April. Now, you would think that's plenty of time before June so they can say, yes, you're getting your money, or no, you're not getting any money. Well, it's not. They don't give you a notification back until October. So what happens in August? Well, I can tell you what happens in August. Schools reopen. Children come back to school. So by the time you find out if you can get this money in October, guess what happens? It's too late to implement the equipment. If you're doing a network overhaul, you're pulling fiber optics in your building, and you're waiting to see if you get funded, what happens in the end is you don't know until October. So you have to look in your crystal ball. The best thing I can tell you to do, libraries and schools in the United States, look in your crystal ball and say, next year we want to do blah, 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 blah. And if it falls within E-Rate, you can put that in there and see if they'll give you some money back. Now, let's say for telecommunications, you know how much your phone bills are. So that stuff's easy. That's year to year to year, and they're going to give you some money towards that, right? They're going to give you money for your internet connectivity because that bill stays pretty much the same year to year to year. But in the end of things, if you're doing a major overhaul or a major project, that is when you have to know a year in advance. Because if you decide in March that you want to start putting this together, in April, you start sending the bid process out, and you got to buy your stuff in June because schools close for 3 months in the summer. School's not usually closed from October, November, and December. We just don't do that. So we won't have any time to put stuff in October. We need to get it in now. So I said, well, that's great. Wonder if we just buy it now and then we get the E-Rate funding in October, will they reimburse us for what we bought? No, it doesn't work that way. You have to get your approval before you buy anything. And that is the catch-22, the round robin of politics, and just the way it works. Now, folks, believe me, it's worked for, I know one school district received 100% funding. They bought over $1 million worth of network switches, fiber optics, interconnectivity. wide area networking gear and routers and switches. It was all paid for. It was all fully funded because they live in a very, very low poverty stricken area. So they got all their money they wanted. So it does work. They do give you the money, but federal government, I think your timing's off a little bit for the schools in the United States. Just something you might want to think about. Anyway, so I think I beat this to a dead horse. Like I said, there is two, maybe one or two voicemails I have. Definitely one, maybe two. And I'm going to play those next week, and we're going to get into the topic of that conversation next week. I did listen to it. And if you did call in with the voicemail and you remember who you were, and I don't remember your first name, I'm sorry. You might want to call in again, speak a little bit slower and a little bit clearer. And if you don't, we're going to play your original message next week. So maybe call the number again, 724-701-0550. And again, spit that back out there and let me know once again your questions so I can answer those for next week. Folks, I have to say thank you so much for you out there, you using my Amazon link. I know there's a lot of podcasters out there saying, hey, please use my Amazon link, use mine, use mine, use mine. You guys and girls get confused, and that's okay. I understand. There's times that, you know, that I could forget to use my own Amazon link because, you know, I can use it, of course, and there's times I forget. But if you remember, and if you want to buy something, anything, if you want to buy wax for your car, if you want to buy, whatever, if you want to buy diapers for the baby, if you want to buy cleaning products for your house, or if you want to buy a Surface Pro 3, a brand new computer system, new whatever, use my Amazon link. You can find it at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Many of you had, and I really do appreciate it. It really makes a difference for the show. It allows me to buy stuff like the mixer, the microphones, everything we need to make these shows produced and make the quality up there to broadcast quality as much as possible. Once again, I know you folks out there use ad blockers. You know, I do, and I know you do. Turn your ad blocker off, deactivate it on my website, tipsfromtheserveroom.com. You'll see the Amazon link. Click on it. When you buy anything from Amazon, your price stays the same, and a couple pennies comes back to the show. Now, folks, if you really want to learn and you say, you know, we're getting ready to roll out Windows Server 2012, or we're finally migrating our 2003 servers to 2008 R2, and we just don't know what to do with them. We know we need to do it. We just don't know how. If you want to learn Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012 R2, or VMware ESXi 5.5 Server, from install to administration, folks, from the very starting of installing the software to setting up Active Directory, to setting up DNS, DHCP, web services, to setting up user accounts, Active Directory, this class is for you, hands down. Please sign up for one of these courses today. You will be so happy you did. That's at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Look at the class link at the top of the page. Click on that. Choose your course. All you got to do, they're self-paced. So all you got to do is you click on the course. You go through the little PayPal thing. Once you pay for the course, very inexpensive. I've had so many people say, Jack, it's too inexpensive. Very inexpensive. Pay for it. Boom, you're on the course. You can start at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, midnight. You can start at 7 o'clock in the morning, 12, whenever. It doesn't matter. And it never expires. That's the golden rule here. Most of these courses you buy on the internet tell you have 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, goodbye. We got your money. So long, you get nothing. With this, folks, you can come back. I've had people coming back years later and rewatching the videos and relearning a topic they might need at the current time. So check those out at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Once you complete the course, I will mail your certificate in the mail. None of this stuff where you print it yourself. I'll mail it. It's on high quality cotton paper. It's really nice quality. I've had a lot of people using these in their resume. They put them in their resumes. They put them, hang them on their wall in their office. Very, very good, a good certificate to have. Folks, I want everybody to have a great work week this week. And, and hopefully you'll get some more topics in there for me. Hopefully you picked up something. If you don't use E-Rate and you're in a school or a library, dig into a little bit and try to get some of that federally funded money that's not from the federal government and get that into your organization today and help those kids out and help those people out in your library to bring everybody up to the 21st century. Folks, thank you so much. Thanks for joining me here. I am Jack, Tips from Serve Room. I'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.
just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.